This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Movie Podcast. We are in Las Vegas at CinemaCon and we have wrapped up the week. We have seen all of the studio presentations and myself, Shabazz, and Anthony are here to give you our thoughts on everything that we saw, go into detail and all the footage that we got to see at these presentations, including the 9 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine that we just wrapped up seeing at Disney's studio presentation here at CinemaCon. Of course, if you want to follow along with everything that we have going on here, make sure you're following us at The Movie Podcast. We were tweeting up a storm during our time at CinemaCon. But before we get to all that, guys, how are you feeling? We've been in Vegas for almost a week. Anthony, are you're surviving? You're doing well? We've had a fun week here.
Yeah, it's been a really fun week. It's been crazy busy with all the, you know, presentations and learning what this CinemaCon is for a lot of mom and pop cinemas around the states and the world, and just learning about the culture of cinema that we might not have seen before. This is kind of like the first time of being behind the scenes of what it really is to run, or what it's like to run a movie theater.
Yeah, right. It's so interesting seeing it from the exhibitor side and hearing things not really talked about. How this isn't Comic-Con, this isn't D23, this isn't like what was it when Disney did their, you know, their shareholders meeting, right? This is something aimed directly for movie theater runners, why they should be excited for what's come to their screens. Shay, how are you feeling?
I'm hyped. I mean, first time in Vegas, like we talked about. This is sad that it's coming to an end.
I know.
But I'm really tired. I'm really exhausted. What a crazy week it's been.
It has been.
Like, there's a level of, there's an amount of work that we had to do this week that was just absolutely insane. And I'm so grateful. I wouldn't change it for the world.
I wouldn't either. And I think one of the things that excited me most, obviously, when we're at these presentations, is you get so lost in what you're watching. I'm not used to having a phone out or having a computer out, watching something and, you know, tweeting or saying what's happening. So you almost would get so lost in what you're watching and so excited about what you're watching. And then you're like, oh, shoot, I have to tell people what's going on here. And I think that's what's been so fun about CinemaCon. But like I said, if you want to see tweet by tweet everything that happened at these presentations, make sure you're following us on social media, at Instagram, on Twitter. That's the best place to see literally minute by minute, second by second, everything that we got to see and, you know, all the footage that we got to break down. But really quickly, CinemaCon has been taking place at Caesar's Palace. This is a place that we've been wanting to visit our entire lives. Obviously, we've seen it in so many movies and so many shows, and we're so lucky to be working with our friends at Expedia for hosting us at Caesar's Palace while we're here for CinemaCon. I mean, like I said, we've seen this hotel in every single film, every single show that has to do with Vegas. Expedia actually named set jetting one of the biggest trends of 2024, and it doesn't have any signs of slowing down. This is all about booking travel inspired by TV and movies. I mean, I think back to my earliest trips with Shane, with you guys, anytime we've gone to go to LA or anytime we've gone to go somewhere like London last year, and we're like, oh my God, this is, I feel like I'm stepping into the movies that I've loved growing up, or these shows that I loved so much growing up. As our resident jet setter, how has your experience at Caesars been so far? What have you loved so much about this place?
I'm a big fan of Gladiator and Ben-Hur, and that really that time period, and Caesars transports you back to that time period. It literally feels like I'm in, you know, 700 BC with the Romans. You got statues of naked men everywhere. You got these beautiful portraits around the casino, and it just feels like this. If Caesar was alive at this point, he would live in Las Vegas. He would be living in this casino.
Even the pool. I mean, anytime we go traveling, like, the pool is where we want to go, and like swimming in all these different pools and having all the different halls named after different, like, things in the Roman Empire. It's so cool to see that, and it's been such an awesome experience. It's gonna be really hard to leave this place once we're done here, because it's just been so amazing.
It's one of those experiences that you're gonna remember forever, and being here and enjoying Las Vegas, enjoying the weather, and actually being part of like kind of history, because you've seen all these casinos, these places, these resorts in the movies. You're like, oh yeah, that's where they shot that scene. Or that's where they shot that scene. It's a little surreal at times that I'm walking the same carpet that Robert De Niro did in Casino, or Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas.
Or checking into the same hotel as they did in The Hangover. So if you're looking for more set jetting activities, you could download the Expedia app, and you could ask the ChatGPT plugin to give you a list of activities for movie lovers in whatever city you're traveling to. It's been great working with them so far. We'll be talking more about them in future episodes covering all of our CinemaCon coverage, but look forward to that. But yeah, let's get back to CinemaCon. But we just wrapped up Disney. Disney was the final studio to go. From what we understand, they're usually the second or third studio to go. So they wanted to go last this year, and I think they wanted to go last for a good reason, because they had a lot to show, and they showed it. So really, the first thing that we started off with, as we walked into the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace, we got to see all the Coca-Cola bottles, which is really cool, which is that new campaign that they're doing. Obviously, Coke is a sponsor for CinemaCon.
Oh yeah, and we got we got some really cool bottles. I've got Deadpool and Blade.
Daredevil.
Daredevil, Blade, and also
Wolverine. Wolverine, who I have those Wolverine. Two bottles. What'd you say?
Pulverine.
Yeah.
I was tweeting so fast on my computer that instead of saying Deadpool and Wolverine, it auto-corrected without me realizing. It's a deadpan and Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
So somebody replied saying, deadpan? What is this?
What, is that movie coming out?
It was a mistake. Yeah. We didn't mean to accidentally announce something.
Yeah, your keycaps are flying all over the place.
Yeah. They were just stuck to my fingers. But yeah, so the footage started off. We got a sizzle reel, obviously, of the previous year and what to be excited for this year. And Disney said that they were going to be coming with 75 minutes worth of content. And they delivered that. And they started things off with 13 minutes of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is directed by Wes Ball. Guys, thoughts on the 13 minutes of footage that we got to see? Anthony, you're going to start us off.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. With the 13 minutes that we got, there was a lot of emotion and connecting with these apes and understanding what this story is going to tell. There's still a lot to be, you know, imagined. We got an idea of where the main character comes from and what happens to him in the beginning and kind of what leads him on his journey. But I think the one thing that I really enjoyed about this movie is just the emotional aspect of these gorillas that, you know, or sorry, apes that we've seen.
I mean, gorillas too, right? Gorillas are there too.
There is one big gorilla, that's for sure. But yeah, no,
we call him Shabazz.
Say my name.
But it was really well done. I'm super excited to watch it fully when we do get to watch it. But yeah, I was a little skeptic because this is the first apes movie since what was the last one called?
War for the Planet of the
War
Apes.
War for the Planet of the Apes. So you just, under a new director, Wes Ball, you're like, how, you know, is it going to continue that theme, that realism, that grounded approach to these apes? And it does. And I'm super excited to see what comes from it.
Yeah. And I think that was the biggest thing, right? Like, Matt Reeves is not at the helm here. This is something that a different director is taking over and continuing that world hundreds of years later. But it looks great. And Shay, what was going on in this footage? Because you were also the one really doing a lot of our
scene descriptions.
I wonder if people will be able to tell, because I feel like you were doing such nice, elegant, like, here's a block of like everything we saw.
Yeah.
And then when it came to Deadpool and Wolverine, which we'll talk about later, yeah, I'm just like,
you know what, man? Both
machine
work,
gunning, like, everything.
Both ideas kind of work there. I think when we're watching these long footage sequences, I just kind of kept writing whatever I was seeing.
Yeah.
And then when it ended, I'm like, okay, what's actually important and what needs to fit in this? So no, I'm glad that we kind of just did it out there, but I'm glad that we're tweeting everything out. This footage was awesome. These apes look amazing. I can't believe they trained real apes this time. They didn't use CG.
They must have, right?
There's no way that's CG, because they look real. You kind of worry sometimes when you hear about, you know, a fourth entry into the franchise, because how much more story can you tell?
Right.
I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm really looking forward to seeing more apes, because the trilogy is amazing. And Wes Ball, who, you know, will be helming the Legend of Zelda movie very soon.
Yes,
he will. I'm very excited to see what he's able to do. Freya Allen, who we've had on our show, you know, clearly one of the main human leads in this movie as well. So very, very, very excited, because the footage looked wicked, very tense. And I think when you are able to create that atmosphere, when we know it's not, and I'm using air quotes here, real, I'm invested in that. I'm really here for it. So I'm really hoping that it absolutely kicks ass.
What's really cool about the footage that we saw too is that there wasn't anything really, like, there's no talking as much, right? Obviously, the apes do talk, but they're not really giving us full-on sentences. And it's just a sequence about these apes trying to steal an egg from a bird's nest. And it feels like
they're going to raise as well.
Sorry?
That they're going to raise.
Yeah, not that they're going to eat it. Like, they're going to have
scrambled. I thought they were going to eat it. I definitely thought. I'm like, well, that's what,
of course,
they're
getting food.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's a sequence that there's not, like, there's these massive stakes when you read it on paper, but it feels so massive when you're seeing it. And I think that's something that you mentioned too, Anthony, this week, that everything that we saw, even if it's not a film that is, you know, in our wheelhouse or anything like that, everything looked and felt like it was presented so incredible here. And of course, they're going to showcase the most amazing sequences and footage that they have at these events, right? And the screen that we got to watch it on looked amazing. But yeah, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, really, really exciting footage to see that. From there, we got a look at Young Woman and the Sea, which I guess the title's a play on Old Man and the Sea. But Daisy Ridley, swimming.
Trailer's out now too, so
trailer's out now too.
Check it out. Yeah. Jerry Bruckheimer has a way of making these very powerful stories even more powerful.
Right. Because
I mean, you hear this kind of a story and you're like, oh yeah, cool. Like, this is something I'd read about in a paper or in a magazine or whatever, and be like, wow, that sounds insane. And then when it's presented to you the way Jerry Bruckheimer does, it's this just epic proportions that you've never kind of seen before. So I thought that was really cool. Daisy Ridley kind of doing what, an Irish accent? What is it?
Was it an Irish accent?
Or an American? What was that? I can't even tell.
I think she's like French, no? Like,
well, we're getting like, you watch the trailer and you let us know.
From the English channel to the French channel, or French to the English, but the father seemed French, from what I remember in the trailer.
Okay, I didn't get French, so that's interesting.
We're all giving three different answers.
We are.
Maybe we watched three different trailers.
Yes.
Let us know. But yeah, the trailer, again, it was a really well-cut trailer. So excited to see what comes of that. And then the really big announcement that we got out of this is that we are going to be getting 35 minutes, literally the first 35 minutes of Inside Out 2. Amy Poehler was here. She came on out to introduce what Joy and the other emotions are up to. Now Riley is 13. She's going through puberty. There's a lot of new emotions coming into play. Envy, I think, is going to be a fan favorite for a lot of people, obviously played by Ayo Edebiri, who, you know, from The Bear, you know, Ireland's Finest, right?
Maybe
she was doing an Irish accent.
Maybe she was.
But Shay, what did you think of Inside Out, the 35 minutes of the film that we got?
Oh man, I don't want to be hyperbolic.
Hyperbolic.
I just think of Dragon Ball Z when I say that. I don't want to be that, because Be a little bit okay. This looks like it's right on par with the first movie in terms of it's comedy, in terms of its emotions, no pun intended there. Everything about this seemed so in line with the first movie that when you get a sequel, you start to worry, especially Pixar, whose recent efforts maybe haven't been the best in my opinion, but I think there's some still great gems that are coming out from them. This has the making of what could be a Toy Story 2 to a Toy Story 1, where it's still
fantastic,
if not even more. It looks like it's matured. It's something that's even more relatable now. I think as we're getting older as well, we're able to realize that too, because anxiety is this thing that I feel like in the last 15 years has really been highlighted by the world.
Yeah, we were just talking about this, right? With mental health, how it's this. There's such a bigger focus on mental health now.
Yeah,
and I think especially going into your teen years, that is something you need to prioritize.
And it was so funny, and like we were laughing so hard, the audience was absolutely eating it up. The animation styles, the different emotions that were coming in, the different characters that were being introduced. There's a lot of amazing stuff in this 35 minutes that when it ended, I was really, really bummed out.
I was, yeah, because you get so invested. You're like, oh, we're in it now. And it's like, it ends. But man, that Pixar and their animation of hockey and everything like that's incredible. Anthony, what did you think of the footage?
Just a correction. Daisy's character is American.
There we go.
Oh. So we were all off.
We're all off. Oh. Did I say American? I don't remember what I said now.
Irish.
I don't think I said Irish.
Irish.
Yeah.
Anyways, getting back to Inside Out. Yeah, if you like Inside Out, this is going to be like the sequel. It's exactly the same, but it's puberty, right? Like you got this girl. you got this girl going through puberty. You know, they have a ton of more emotions that come with it. So it's not just joy and anger. It's anxiety. It's envy. It's being embarrassed. So there's a lot that what was the last one? The French one?
I think they were just calling him like a wee something, right?
Yeah, he was just like, okay, like
whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Whatever was an emotion,
whatever.
That would be that emotion. But yeah, no, it was really funny. It was really well done in terms of animation. I think for me, I love the hockey sequence.
Oh my god,
yeah. In the beginning. And I love how hockey and just the sport being a big factor in her life, and just how she connects with a lot of the other kids because she goes to hockey camp, which is somewhere where she meets new people, new friends. She realizes she might be losing her friends. So there's a lot of emotions that this girl's going through, and within 35 minutes you get all of them. And you kind of, there's a really good analogy where they bottle the past emotions,
which
I found funny. It's like, oh, this is where we bottle your emotions. And you hear that all the time.
Yeah,
you know, I bottle my anger, I bottle my joy or being afraid.
Yeah.
And they put them in a vault, and then there's all of these other emotions that are there, and
they're really clever with that, right?
Crazy animation styles that are included. It's not just 3D, there's some 2D in here, which is really cool. Remind me of The Boys. You know, remember The Boys when they had this live action 2D and 3D and
in
season 3? Was it season 3?
Yeah, season 3
with I forgot the guy's name, the guy who doesn't talk.
Yeah. Black Noir? Is it Black Noir?
Black Noir.
Noir.
Or Noir.
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 We're giving two names.
We're giving a lot of names.
But
Irish as well.
Yeah, but I also like, yeah, like, your belief system. And it's like creating your belief system. And it's like, oh, like, now it's not just emotions now. You're starting to have belief systems as a person. And we see how anxiety really is not the villain of this film, but
she kind
of
is, though. She kind of like is trying to take
charge. But it's like, we're taking over. We're the emotions that are now in charge. And
yeah,
we're going to be driving her because we think we know what's best for her. And that's how our anxiety plays on us. It's so smart. Damn it, Pixar. They're so good.
I think they did a really good job. I think we were all worried a bit. Not worried, but like we were just kind of...
You're touching a beloved film, right?
Yeah, and we didn't know a new director. Can they really connect again with us? And I think they did. Within 35 minutes, I wanted to watch the rest of it.
And seeing new animation styles as well, too. Shay, you want to talk about like Ron Funches and things like that? Like,
yeah, I know. It was cool to see the new animation styles, Ron Funches coming in. I'm trying to figure out who was voicing this. The
Blade video game character? Yeah.
But also, you know, you sometimes worry, and I think this is coming from like my childhood, whenever we see actors being replaced, Yes. Like, we're not getting Bill Hader here. We're not getting Mindy Kaling.
No.
Do we know if we're getting Phyllis as well?
So that's what I wanted to ask you guys, because it sounded like her.
And then it didn't sound like her.
Didn't sound like her. Then in my head, I'm like, is she just older now? So her voice sounds different? Because
that's
again,
all I can
they
think
probably
of.
Recorded the first Inside Out over 10 years ago.
Right.
So does she just sound different now?
That's the thing. And you always kind of wonder whenever that kind of happens.
Phyllis. So, I forget her last name.
Yeah. But it's Phyllis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the name? Phyllis Smith?
Yeah, Phyllis Smith. She is
voicing the character.
Okay, so she's coming back. Yeah, I think she just sounds maybe
just a little older now. Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah, but I mean, Riley's older.
People age.
Right?
Yeah.
Riley's older now.
Older. So you worry. I mean, yes, the fear and disgust still sound like fear and disgust, but I do miss Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling's voices. They added a little bit extra spice to it, but yeah. I am still excited for this movie. That doesn't change anything for me.
Yeah. So that wraps up. And then Kevin Feige comes on stage.
K Feigs,
who we saw walking right past us.
Oh,
hey, Kevin. What's going on, man?
He's wearing his Deadpool Wolverine hat.
He was wearing the hat, of course. What other hat could he be wearing but that? You could tell how confident Disney and Marvel Studios are in this project, because they decided to show us 9 minutes. And not only that, they announced that Deadpool is going to be designing a popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
So whatever, and they're like, Kevin's like, yeah, you know, some studios unintentionally make it look like a little nefarious. We're going to design something that I think is going to lean into that. So are we getting like Deadpool's butthole, like for popcorn bucket? Like, wow. What are we getting?
You're
right
messed
now?
Up, man.
What else can we be getting?
Look, here's the thing. Let's break this down a bit, okay?
Okay.
Obviously, Dune 2's popcorn bucket has ignited a new section of the internet and the world of movie memorabilia.
Yes, right? I think so.
We were at CinemaCon and we posted a little, you know, tweet about the Wolverine and Deadpool cinema cups,
yes,
which show Wolverine in his mask. There are also other stations nearby that had Deadpool Wolverine popcorn buckets as well that we couldn't take pictures of,
no,
and concept art and everything, and they all looked pretty tame, I would say.
No buttholes.
No. very normal looking cups and popcorn buckets. So I wonder if this is just a bit of a recent pivot that, you know, Marvel Studios is kind of doing on their own with the recent success of the Dune 2 popcorn bucket, which is why we probably didn't see anything of it, so which is awesome. So nothing is out there.
Imagine
right now.
Imagine if we saw that. Crazy looking that we're like,
I think they also have to keep it PG in the sense that because this product is being sold in theaters, and kids go there, they can't just have whatever.
You would hope so.
Yeah, like the Dune one was more of a not subtle, but I just feel like it was a coincidence. Like, they weren't really thinking about that.
Yeah, no, definitely
weren't trying to make it.
It definitely was an accident.
No, but I don't know, and that could just Kevin Feige just playing on the fact that this Disney presentation was R-rated.
Yeah,
you know, Kevin Feige swore quite a bit.
That was wild to hear, and it was,
yeah, I haven't recorded, so you'll hear it. So yeah, this even the executives, it came to the point where it's like, I don't trust even your swear, like your fuck words, because
you don't trust your fuck words.
You know why? Because you've been so good so many years.
Oh, yeah,
it comes off almost like a marketing thing.
They're going to lean into it, right?
How I look at it.
They're going to lean into it for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Definitely.
Right? Like, this is unheard of to have a character like this in the MCU. Even in, like, right when he said, okay, we're getting to the no teleprompter portion, they didn't want anything from this presentation to leak or get out.
I was looking at the teleprompter a lot throughout the other presentations.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, who's coming out next? Oh, wow, we're getting this person to come out next. Oh, this person. So when we went no teleprompter, I'm like, ooh, nah, I'm excited.
Okay, so before we get to the footage of Deadpool and Wolverine, we got a quick update at the logo of the Fantastic Four. Again, very retrofuturism, as we've been seeing on all the artwork that has been coming out for that. We got a new title treatment for Thunderbolts that has an asterisk at the end. And that's more on that later.
Yeah, like, that's all they said, more on that later. So I wonder, probably around close to Hall H, looking at, or D23.
I have a theory.
It's a different name, right?
I think it's going to be a completely different name.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to be called Dark Avengers.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark Avengers, because you have the Avengers in the title. You're going to have a team that's completely different. We didn't see any footage of it. Florence Pugh did send us a video eating macaroni and cheese while she was talking about what they were going to be doing.
Just like she does in the Hawkeye show.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Mackie appears on stage. And then we get a full-on trailer for Captain America.
Clip and trailer.
Sorry?
A clip and a trailer.
A clip and a trailer of Captain America Brave New Worlds. Very leaning into Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Vibes, right? Yeah. We're hearing Alan Silvestri's classic Captain America theme throughout. And like right as the clip starts too, they almost like how they joked about Don Cheadle in Iron Man 2. We're like, hey man, I didn't expect you to be here. And it's like, it's me, let's get over it, right? Yeah. The first line Anthony Mackie, Sam Wilson says to Harrison Ford, who's playing Thunderbolt Ross, like he says, I like your new look.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like he's commenting on his look right away.
Yeah.
From there, we see some, it seems like some mind control is happening. Like the villain of the film is going to be able to take over the minds of
Like people. Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, exactly that. Like Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I got Winter Soldier vibes for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I loved this footage, I'll be honest with you. Some parts look cool for sure, but it didn't push me over the edge or really excite me, I think. Some of the shots were really cool looking, but it just kind of, and this is not to, I don't want to degrade it, but in a sense, like it kind of just felt like a streaming film to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it felt just, like a continuation of
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. And it definitely is because we're seeing like Isaiah Bradley.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of these characters from that show obviously come forward now in Sam's story.
Yeah.
So
I hope it's good. I mean, like here, we want everything to be good that we watch in theaters. But I don't know if it disexcited me per se.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah, 100%. I'm there with you too. Like it was interesting seeing this footage. There's some great action in it. Again, they're leaning into the classic like Winter Soldier action of this. So if you're a fan of that those vibes are definitely there.
Yeah.
And like it's cool seeing Anthony Mackie.
Thriller action.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Anthony?
I'm okay with it. It does remind you of Winter Soldier, but a less tamed. Again, I don't know how much of this movie is done. There's a lot of, even in the trailer, there's a lot of shots that are not done at all. They look kind of flat and not fully invested.
Right.
So, you know, when we get these early looks, they always lead with, this is not finished work. This is something that we just want to show, you know, cinemas so they have something to get excited for their theaters.
But right.
Anthony Mackie as Captain America, he still needs to prove himself. And I hope this movie does it.
Yeah.
And the footage that we got, especially with Harrison Ford playing Thunderbolt Ross, is he president?
I believe he is president.
Become president. So there's a dynamic there. It kind of reminds you of when Steve and Robert Redford's character in
Winter Soldier,
just the dynamic. And you know, we eventually find out he's part of Hydra.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And Thunderbolt Ross is connected to the Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
Red Hulk is in this movie, maybe?
Maybe this is how he becomes the Red Hulk. Harrison Ford does punch someone.
He does.
But it was just like him punching someone, not Red Hulk.
It's great seeing Harrison Ford as a president, though, because I believe it.
Yes. This
right?
is a, wait,
it's,
second
it's a continuation
time, right?
of Air Force One.
Yes, it is. Air Force One Part Two.
Air Force Two.
But yeah, like I wasn't overtly excited for it. The footage didn't kind of like wowed me. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, February 2025. So still a little bit of a wait, but we'll be getting what's coming next in Captain America's story. And hopefully that leads to what's coming next. Because again, Thunderbolt Ross wants Sam Wilson to help rebuild the Avengers. What does that mean? You know, we heard jokes of Secret Wars and things like that and footage that came later for Deadpool and Wolverine. So, Shay, any thoughts on what's coming next for the Avengers? Because we did get the Avengers like teased too in this presentation of terms of, you know, these franchises are coming back.
Yeah, I mean, we also got that little PSA in the beginning about, you know, silencing your phone that started the whole conversation of, and you're hearing like Deadpool say like, oh, I heard they're going to introduce this person in Secret Wars soon. So it's kind of like we know that we're definitely building a lot more. I wonder how much of it is actually real.
Yeah, you want to know.
I want to know.
But let's get to Deadpool and Wolverine. So Deadpool. Yeah, Sean Levy comes out. He's very excited about what this film is. Again, Canadian director, Canadian star, Hugh Jackman, Canadian superheroes, Deadpool and Wolverine, both Canadian. This is a Canadian movie. And Shay, you said you saw the CN Tower in footage?
Anthony and I both saw it, I think, right? Yeah, there was a moment where kind of like we see the 20th Century Fox Studios logo in the background.
Okay.
And, you know, Deadpool is fighting and everything. I could be wrong, but I felt like it was the CN Tower.
Yeah, it was definitely a tower with a needle on it, but it just looked like the CN Tower. It had like a circular hub as well as a very long antenna. So I don't know if that's, or it could be something else, but it just looked like it.
There's just a lot of Canadians in this.
We both saw it.
There's a lot of Canadians in this. So, I mean, why wouldn't
the CN Tower make an appearance?
It's probably not the CN Tower, but hey, man, if it is.
That's
right.
Cool.
That is wicked, and we were right.
But let's get to the footage. So obviously the film takes place on Deadpool's birthday. We're really seeing where the TVA coming to his birthday and to take him. We get the line, obviously pegging isn't new for me, but it is for Disney. So we get that whole thing too. And as we also get a line about cocaine, where Deadpool's like saying, like, you know, cocaine is the only thing Feige said was off limits. So again, a lot of fourth wall breaking right away. Also, I don't know if you guys heard in that PSA for silencing your phones at the beginning, Deadpool says that, you know,
taint is vibrating.
I thought it was his dick.
I think he said his dick vibrates whenever Wolverine breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, so, yeah, could have been. It just
could be part of Deadpool vibrates.
Some part of what doesn't.
You know what doesn't? It's so true. But yeah, we get the scene where the TVA comes to take him out, and then we see Matthew McFadden. He is playing Mr. Paradox.
Yes,
he's playing Mr. Paradox, and he has to help, you know, correct the sacred timeline. The TVA knows about him using Cable's time machine. So if you remember back to Deadpool sequel, when, you know, he goes back to X-Men Origins Wolverine and he kills that Deadpool and everything like that. So the TVA knows about that. They're totally cool with it, but they need this help to correct the sacred timeline. And obviously he shows Wade that screen of all of you know, different moments from the MCU. But what was really interesting is the moment from Thor, with Thor crying from Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
Instead of Loki dying, we see Wade dying.
Yeah.
So like, it's a really interesting how they cut it. So he's like, yeah, that's from a future timeline. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about that here. So it's like, yeah, they're teasing something. What's to come?
Well, definitely seeing a lot of people tweet about, you know, oh, Thor's going to be in Deadpool. It's like, you're not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's going to be in it. But as of right now, it's just old footage.
Yeah. They're just playing with the footage that's in it there.
Yeah.
And then obviously he calls himself Marvel Jesus. He says, second Fox, I'm going to Disneyland. And then, yeah, it's just craziness that happens from there. Deadpool has adamantium katanas as well too, and then it's just craziness. It's a scissor reel. We don't get too much Wolverine in this footage though, until, like, we don't see Wolverine with a mask.
No,
we don't see really Wolverine fighting.
No,
but we just see them in a car together, and they're
not just, even his claws.
No, we just see them insulting the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the scissor reel?
Yeah, that was wicked. I mean, it's funny. The jokes were absolutely hilarious. That opening sequence is great with the whole birthday party scene. And then getting to that sizzle reel of just, you know, action sequences that we've seen before and possibly seen the CN Tower, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Probably not CN Tower, but like, yeah, it was just cool. It was just really, really wicked. I'm totally here for it. It's going to be an awesome time in theaters for sure.
Friends don't let friends leave the house looking like they play for the Los Angeles Rams. Great line. Went over really well with this audience. Anthony, thoughts on the footage we saw for Deadpool Wolverine?
Yeah, I enjoyed the comedy aspect of it. I do find that a lot of it's like on the nose type of thing. It's like, oh, we're trying too hard with what we're trying to do because it's an R-rated Disney Deadpool. So it's some of it is like a little, not extreme, because nothing really is extreme in my eyes, but I feel like the audience might look at it as like, oh, this is a little bit too on the nose. But overall, I think when you incorporate Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, you're going to get great dynamic between the duo. So, and we see it in the car. I'm not a big fan of Ryan Reynolds. You know this if you've listened to me in the past. I just find that he is the same in everything he does. And even like if you took his character from If and you put him in this movie, it would have been the same. It's just, you know, like it's just he has that tone.
There's
that
the big, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds on if he's swearing or if he's not swearing, it's just Ryan Reynolds. But he does a really good Deadpool.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great as Deadpool. I just don't know where I fall into this whole movie and what it's supposed to do. It's not reinventing the characters and it's not reinventing the idea of Deadpool. So that's my take on it. But overall, it's I think a audience will find it funny.
Yeah, I think this is what audience are hoping for. They want more Deadpool. They want Deadpool interacting with other Marvel characters. And we didn't see any other like Fox characters really show up other than people who have been in Deadpool's films. We didn't see like Jennifer Gardner or any of the other, you know, rumored cameos that were going to be appearing in this film.
I think this will probably be the biggest Marvel movie cameo appearance.
Yeah,
I think
even if it's a second,
like we even saw Predator show up. So not in the trailer, but we've seen Predator show up on backstage photos and all that stuff, behind the scene photos. So I feel like this movie is going to go really hard on cameos of 20th Century Fox movies as well as MCU characters.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very big. That was pretty much the end of the Marvel Studios presentation. Obviously, there's a lot of more Marvel movies to come to theaters, as they were teasing. But from there, we jumped right into some alien Romulus footage. The whole theater went green. Terrifying footage. Shay, what'd you think?
Oh, it looks so cool. It looks fucking cool. Like, it looks scary. I loved the facehuggers running around. There's an atmosphere. It's like this really good blend between Alien and Aliens, which the movie does take place in between. Go check out our 20-minute conversation with Fede Alvarez, the director of the movie, where he talks a lot about, you know, what was important about making this kind of a movie and paying homage to what came before it, but also kind of crafting something new. You know, he's created the Evil Dead remake that came out a couple years ago, and that was bloody violent, as, you know, Anthony, you love that film. This looks like it's just going to be gross and scary and action-packed.
Yeah, there was like lots of face huggers, as you were saying in the description, Shay. Very gross, very scary, very just really unsettling. Like, this is the first trailer that I saw this whole CinemaCon that I actually had my hand like close to my face, almost like in shock of like, I don't know what I'm about to see, so I'm a little like nervous. And there's been a lot of scary trailers, but this one actually made me, this sequence that we saw made me the most like, oh, this is something.
Yeah, it does feel like a lot of practical effects were being used, even though there are CG moments in this trailer, in this extended look. I think my biggest gripe was the alien chest bursting scene. It wasn't as powerful as the first one, and I was expecting more blood to be coming out of this person. So it could have also been, like, again, this, I don't know if this is the final version of what we see, but yeah, I was expecting more blood to be gushing out of this girl. But I'm a big fan of Fede Alvarez. I think he does great horror. I'm a big fan of his Evil Dead, and I hope it gets bloody disgusting as we go through that movie.
I think it will be. That scene has been stuck in my head, where one of the girls on the ship is like, don't let me die, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is so,
and then she dies. there's even a scene where it looks like it's kind of mimicking, you know, from Alien 3 with Ripley's character just against the most iconic shot of the xenomorph kind of coming close.
Yeah,
it kind of looks like we're getting a similar kind of a shot here, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
updated, you know, why not.
We got a quick little update on Night Bitch. That was it. Just the title treatments.
Yeah, why Night not? Bitch
coming out. We'll wait for that. We got a new look at Kinds of Kindness, which was the same trailer that dropped, was it not?
This was a new one.
Was this a new trailer already?
They said it was a new one, but it didn't seem new.
Oh, okay. So this is the trailer that we got before.
There was also a new trailer that they dropped today, which is shorter. But I think Emma Stone is just dancing a lot.
Okay.
But this trailer, I feel like it was from a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that was there.
Yeah, I just felt the same.
Rami Malek, the amateur.
Yeah.
That was a cool trailer. This actually surprised me. Like, this actually looks cool.
Kind of give me like Jason Bourne vibes.
Yeah.
It looks exciting.
Jason Bourne and almost like, what's the name of the character that John Krasinski plays?
Jack Ryan.
Because it's like this guy who's not like an agent, but it's like once his wife dies, he wants a new identity so he could hunt down the people that killed her.
Yeah.
Did they make a movie like that?
They've probably done a lot of movies like this, yeah. Like,
wasn't there one where Michael Keaton is in it? I forgot who the main actor is.
Andy's going to look
while you look that up.
But yeah, Rachel Brosnahan,
Lawrence Fishburne,
and
John Bernthal,
Holt McCallany. great cast of characters in this, but it looks like a fun action movie. This is coming out earlier next year, so we won't have to wait too long on that.
They're still shooting it right now?
Yeah, they're still shooting it. Anthony, what you got?
It's called American Assassin.
Oh, okay.
After the death of his girlfriend at the hands of terrorists, Mitch Rapp is drawn into the world of counterterrorism. Oh, it had the same vibe. You know, that's what I... But dude,
yeah, 100%.
I'm not 100% on it, though. I wasn't wowed by it.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. So we'll see what that next year.
We're still like a year away.
Mufasa. Barry Jenkins. Mufasa. Mufasa, The Lion King. It's an interesting title.
Yeah.
Mufasa, Barry Jenkins comes out and he's like, yeah, you're probably wondering why I decided to do this film. And he kind of spoke about his history with the film, how when he was living with his sister and helping, you know, living with her and she had kids, they would watch this film and he was just so taken by it that when he got the script on his desk, he's like, you know what, I want to be part of this. And you know, there's an artist working on songs. We do not know who. They did not reveal who.
Who do you guess it is?
You know, we got
Ejons.
I don't know. Like, who knows?
Elton Johnny?
No, I don't think it's Elton John. I don't think Elton John's making any music for this.
I don't think so.
I think it's going to be maybe a newer artist that's going to be making some music.
Cardi B?
No.
Cardi B's doing it. We're breaking it here first. Cardi B and who else?
I don't know, man.
Nicki Minaj. They're doing
it. They're squashing the beef.
Mufasa?
For Mufasa.
No, man.
No.
I just don't see those two characters. Sorry, those two
artists
making a Mufasa soundtrack.
What if?
Yeah.
What if?
What if it is
Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick?
No, man. No.
All three of them. They were doing it as a hype.
At first, Mufasa. I was like, is it going to be Beyonce making music? Because she put out an album for Lion King. Remember that album? I don't know if they would do Beyonce again because she's not in this one. Maybe it's Rihanna. Maybe it's Thames. Maybe it's who's the other one?
Who's from Thames?
Thames.
The artist.
Artist probably known as who?
Known as Thames.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know what Thames is. Anthony's going to pull up some music now.
Yeah, so please.
We'll pull up some
music. It's Tyla.
Or Tyla. That's who I was going to say next. Maybe it's Tyla, right? Anthony's playing some music so we can get a little.
Me and you? Thames?
Yo, it's a vibe. I like it. I like it.
This is Mufasa.
That's Mufasa?
That's Mufasa.
You know, like, you hear it.
You know, like, there's a vibe to that. So
the vibe.
So I could see, maybe, I could see them going for an artist like that to create the soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I love so much about this footage is that it feels like it has a lot more personality than the 2019 film. Like, we're seeing more facial expressions. We're seeing a different visual art in the sky. Like, that sequence where we see Mufasa in the animated film in the sky talking to Simba, we get a scene that looks like this here.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot more.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do too. I think they're addressing a lot of the claims, the issues that, you know, we had with the Lion King that came out in 2019. Still not 100% sold on it because it still has like that sort of a darker look to it and less
very vibrancy. Discovery Channel, right?
Very Discovery Channel. And I still was kind of like, okay, like, I would have rather preferred this to be animated where I can see the colorfulness of the nature and really get more emotion out of these animals. So I am curious.
Same. I think there are some really beautiful shots, and I think Barry Jenkins will bring a beautiful story. I just don't know. Sorry, that's Shay opening up his
Coke bottle. It's not a snake in the jungle. It's Shay opening a bottle of Coke. We're recording this live in our hotel room right after the presentation. So
I think it's more of the photorealism.
Yeah,
it takes away from the story of Lion King. Mm-hmm. I think the animation of Lion King is a big character to Lion King. So when you change it to this realism, it just feels flat, and it feels dry, and you just want it to be more colorful and more brighter and more musically, and it just bring that whole world together. And when you bring it into this live action, they say live action is still animated,
yeah,
but it's photorealistic look, it tends to be like, you know, National Geographic.
Yeah. So but Barry Jenkins being behind it, that's what gives me that excites me, right? You're like, oh wow, you have a director who gave us Moonlight, you know, like you're having him come in and you're going to have this giant film now. So it's interesting.
Yeah. And the opening of the trailer was like in the Ice Age, or what was that? Like, it was
cold. It looked cold.
Yeah.
It looked very cold.
Yeah, weird.
Maybe we're going to see some lions in the snow.
Lions in the past.
Lions in the snow. Wrapping up the Disney presentation, and also the recipients of the NATO Spirit of the Industry Award at CinemaCon, was Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming on stage to rock bottom everybody on there.
Wild that he did that. Yeah. So unfortunate. So many people were hurt.
Everyone, before you left, that was the parting gift, was Dwayne Johnson was going to rock
bottom. Yeah, yeah. He did 6,000 rock bottoms.
Yeah, he has so much energy. No, but he comes on stage. We're talking Moana 2. We see some incredible dancing. And then we see the dancing. They're like, "Oh, that's so amazing to see the indigenous dancing." And then we have just Dwayne just walks on up, and then he starts dancing too.
Yeah, very cool.
And then we got to look at Moana 2, which is going to be in theaters later this year in November.
Yeah, we got a song.
We got a song.
Little mini trailer.
Yeah, were you big on the first Moana, Shay?
Yeah, I like the first Moana. I thought it was a good movie. You know what worries about this one though for me? The fact that it started off as, you know, a Disney Plus series,
yeah,
converted into a movie. We've had that many times before in the past at Disney. When you look back to the start of Buzz Lightyear, Star Command, you know, episodes to a movie, you look at Aladdin, The Return of Jafar, so on and so forth. It's always been kind of like, oh, this is what we were trying to do, direct to home video,
right,
which is now direct to streaming, and now they're going direct to streaming to theater. So either they saw it and they're like, wow, we have something that is like that needs to be in theaters, or they were like, we don't have anything that's animated at the end of this year, we need to move this from streaming to theatrical. So you worry. The song was great. Nothing really kind of blew me away with what we saw, but I was like, oh, like this hopefully will be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you see the passion with a lot of the filmmakers. Again, they want it's also like a little inside baseball in how these presentations are, because these presentations are not for, like I said, for Comic-Cons, for audiences like that. They are for theater exhibitors. So they started the Moana sequence with a bunch of like TikToks of people reacting to the news that there is going to be a Moana 2. And it's like, look how excited audiences are going to be to come to your theaters to watch it, type thing, right? Anthony, what did you think of the footage?
The animation looked really good.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised if this was a TV series, because, man,
damn,
it looked really good. It looked really good. And they probably realized they didn't have much this year, so they probably said, let's convert this TV series into something that people can go to the theaters to watch, right? I think the biggest thing I learned this week is how much theater owners need movies in their theaters. And with streaming being a big part of our world now, a lot of stuff goes there directly and you know, when you have 100 movies coming out 1 year and now you have 40 movies, it hurts the business. It hurts them, and they really want more films to show in their theaters. They need that. So I'm glad Disney chose it. I think it'll look great on the big screen. What we saw, the clip that we saw, it was wicked. I think they have a really good arsenal when it comes to their animation this year.
Yeah, they do. And I think, again, like I think like what you said, Anthony, like you're looking at a world where Disney's like, Disney Plus is amazing, and it so is, but why are we going to turn our film franchise that did really well at the box office, why are we going to give it to people at home when they could come to the theater to watch it, right? And that's something that we got all the time growing up in the 90s with, like, here's the Lion King in theaters, and then here's the Timon and Pumbaa show, or here's the direct home release of
Simba's Pride,
exactly, or Aladdin 2 or Little Mermaid 2 and all these other ones, where it's like, no, like, let's treat these franchises properly, let's keep them in theaters, let's go big with them so people have a reason to want to go to the theaters and watch this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was it for Disney.
Yeah.
So they ended with Moana 2. It was a really big presentation from them. I think they were one of the longer presentations this week as well, especially given all of the longer extended looks they got of it.
2:30 to about 4:50 p.m.
Yeah. So it was a nice extended look.
They're the only ones that also went over their time.
They did. Man. Yeah. Everyone else went under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, or just right on time.
So it's been really interesting seeing all of these studio presentations.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about what Lionsgate showed off yesterday. So this was another great presentation. Again, Lionsgate has been one of those studios that they've been really strategic with the kind of films that they have. They're not always the giant blockbuster films, but they'll have huge successes like John Wick, which was a huge success last year. They're those almost like middle budget movies that just do incredible at the box office. So we got obviously a lot of praise for John Wick 4 last year. And then we got a look at The Ballerina, which is the spin-off film that is starring Ana de Armas. Anthony, thoughts on that and what's going on, when it's taking place, and the action that you saw?
The Ballerina, it's very similar to John Wick. It is the same type of actions, it's the same type of choreographed fight sequences. I feel that, you know, when you incorporate someone who's, you know, who is like Ana de Armas, she just doesn't look like someone who could take down an army, but you know, you see it in this movie. She is a trained assassin like John Wick, and her story is very similar to if you watched 3, you're introduced to the ballerinas that Angelica Houston kind of trains.
Yeah.
And you kind of see the inside of that world. A lot of judo fighting, a lot of hand-to-hand combat, a lot of ballerina dancing. So I guess Angelica Houston's character sees something in Anna's character.
Yeah.
And she goes on this spree, and John Wick does show up. She wants to learn more from him, so he becomes a mentor to her. I do not know how much of John Wick is in this movie, the character, but he does appear in this trailer. So I feel like he has maybe 25% of the movie, or shows up in 25%, maybe 15.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, because again, people love the character of John Wick, and as we know from the end of John Wick 4, you know, spoilers, he does die in that. So it's nice to see where he's going to go, and maybe wherever they decide to take this sequel with the Ballerina and the spinoff series, we'll see more of that. And Ana de Armas kicks so much ass. We got to see it in the Cuba sequence in, you know, No Time to Die. So it's going to be really exciting to see her lead her own action franchise and, you know, really shine there, right? We also got a look at two Guy Ritchie films. So we had the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and then Henry Cavill did come out, which was amazing to see. And then not only that, we have another film with Henry Cavill called In the Gray, which stars Henry Cavill, Jake Gyllenhaal, and
Isaac Gonzalez.
So they're teaming up. Oh yeah, sorry, Anthony has something. Anthony has to jump in. No, I teed you up too much.
It's not that I have something to jump into. I think it's something that we missed.
Oh,
we never mentioned during the Disney conference.
Oh no,
it's that we did see Snow White.
Yeah,
well, we saw
Snow White,
yeah,
but they never showed Snow White. They showed the
Gal Gadot
as the evil queen, and like her hand drop an apple.
Yeah.
But I just remember that because you mentioned Jake Gyllenhaal, and I don't know why, but I thought of Gal Gadot.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's totally cool.
Yeah, I tweeted about that because I was like, that's surprising in a sizzle reel. That's really all that we got.
Yeah, because that film was supposed to come out this year, but then it was next year.
Yeah.
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, it looks really fun, over-the-top action.
Cool. Coming out next month?
Next week.
Next week, never mind.
And then In the Gray, very cool action, cut to music, cut on beat, Jake Gyllenhaal, Henry Cavill using his real accent, which is great.
Yeah.
Again, I'll take a million movies like that from Guy Ritchie, because like I think that's where he shines with characters like that.
Yeah.
But really fun. We got to look at The Strangers Chapter 1. Holy shit.
Scary.
It's scary. Shay, what'd you think?
I was scared. That's all. That's what I thought.
That's
we got like a Quiet Place kind of moment with it too, where mm-hmm. you know she's walking and her hand slips and hits a nail, and ugh, gross.
Very gross. Looks really scary. I'm a big fan of the first Strangers film from all the way back.
You were one of the strangers, weren't you?
Back in 2007. I was a stranger.
You pulled up to someone's house.
Yeah, now look where I am now.
Yeah.
Right?
This is
stranger anymore.
These gentlemen, this is what's possible.
Yeah. Anthony, what'd you think of The Strangers chapter one?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of that world. I'm not a fan of jump scares because I just sometimes they come off cheap.
Yeah.
But whatever we got, I was intrigued.
Yeah.
You know, masked people showing up to your house
for no reason at all,
uninvited, and they're in your house and they're wearing masks and they don't say much. It's creepy, right?
Yeah.
And you're in a world, this is supposed to be the very first kind of the introduction. You're going to learn where these people come from and why they act the way they do. So it kind of gave me Alan Wake vibes.
Yeah.
You know, a town that knows something but doesn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of looking at each other. But yeah, I'm down for it. I'm down for a scare.
Yeah. We also got a new look at the Borderlands film, which is coming out in August. Eli Roth, aka Anthony's doppelganger, and Ariana Greenblatt were there in attendance to give us a little bit more information. It looks like Guardians of the Galaxy, but you know, in the video game world, and we're on a hot streak with video game adaptations. So I'm hoping this delivers too, because this looks really fun. It looks like it'd be really fun.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't do it for me. Yeah, it. I just something about it. I think it reminded me too much of the era of video game movies that don't look great. So I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope this is a fun movie because it looks like the cast is having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks like the game. So it's like, yeah, fingers crossed it delivers on what makes the game special, because so much of what Borderlands is special is the crazy weapons and everything that you get. So
yeah.
I'm worried, like, is that going to translate in the movie version?
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Ariana Greenblatt. Like, you have a massive cast of characters. I hope this is really fun again. I think the trailer was a good trailer, but I'm also not attached to the world of Borderlands, so there's nothing about these characters that I really care about. So we'll see.
Yeah, me neither. I've never played the game. I don't know much about what this world represents. When I did see these characters on screen, it did remind me of Guardians of the Galaxy. You just have the music, the cutaways, the interesting characters that are put into this one van and they have to go cross country. It just gives you Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah,
vibes. Cate Blanchett is the biggest thing that's drawing me to this film because I just want to know
why
and what
it's an interesting choice for her, right?
We think about Cate Blanchett, you think of
Tar,
and but you get Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
but she was really good in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
so
Eli and Jamie Roth Lee Curtis is the other one. Sorry, yeah, I was thinking.
And Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis does anything. You just throw it to her, she'll do it.
Yeah.
She's not like a... I don't look at her as like an actress that is very... She has a great family history of actors and she has that dynasty, but I don't ever look at... I just don't look at Jamie Lee Curtis as someone who is...
It's not surprising that she's in this.
A great actress.
I got you. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not sorry.
I'm that's fine. That's what we're doing. We're talking about film. And like, yeah, I'm not surprised that she's in this. I think the cast is having fun. I just hope that it translates to a good movie with Eli Roth directing it. So we'll see what happens with that. We also have The Crow, which we got a new look at. Were you guys fans of The Crow, original Crow? Really, like, you were a fan of the original Crow?
Yeah, it was a movie that my uncles used to watch a lot at home, so I watched it a lot with them.
Yeah, I think this is probably this was a better trailer than we got.
Definitely.
From the first trailer, this actually looked like, this actually looks like it's going to be a good movie.
It kind of looks like a European movie, though.
100% it does. Eastern, you know, European film.
Very Eastern European movie. And that's not a negative comment. It's just more like that. It looks like it's from that world.
Yeah, almost like it gives me vibes of like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, things like that, right? Where it's like, you're like, oh, we're in Europe.
We're in Budapest.
Yeah, we're in Budapest. Yeah. You know, we're in Estonia, you know? Anthony, any thoughts on The Crow?
My history with The Crow is just knowing that Brendan Lee died from The Crow. I never really watched it. I know, I've seen scenes, I've seen clips, but I've never read the book or the comic book or the graphic novel. But I am interested. I do like Bill Skarsgård, and I kind of dig his look in this movie and learning more about what he has to do to get his girlfriend back is interesting, because he has to die. Like, that's something that I didn't know. Like, oh, he has to keep dying until he It's unlimited lives.
Yeah,
these crows have unlimited lives.
The film was shot in Prague and Munich, yeah. So it makes sense that why we're thinking the way that we are.
Anthony's going as the crow for Halloween.
I can see Anthony going as the crow for Halloween.
It's going to happen.
We also got a new Aziz Ansari film, which is called Good Fortune. Anthony, could you give us an idea of what's this film was about? You know, we have Aziz Ansari, we have Seth Rogen in it. Who else is in it? What's going on in it?
Yeah, so you have Keanu Reeves, Seth Rogen, Kiki Palmer, Sandra Oh, and Aziz Ansari. And Aziz has written and directed this movie. It is, and he was there. He came out. He did a whole thing.
Yeah,
really, really funny.
Shay and I had to leave for the last 15 minutes of the presentation when all the big trailers were dropping because we had an interview with Alex Garland, which will be coming out next week. But Anthony was there to cover for us.
Yeah, so he came out. He was really well spoken, really funny. Made a lot of jokes. People were laughing. Some inappropriate jokes, but you know everyone was on page. But his character in this movie is someone who's down on his luck, right? And he kind of becomes Seth Rogen's assistant, or like,
okay,
more of like a slave in a sense. Go get me this.
Oh my gosh.
Go get me that. You know, typical Hollywood world. Seth Rogen is a very rich and successful person. And Keanu Reeves comes to him and says, hey, why don't we switch your lives with him? Because you think his life is so much better. Let me give you his life and he'll take yours. And so they have like this change up. Yes. And Keanu Reeves is an angel. He plays like some sort of angel who's...
Isn't he in real life though? Let's be honest.
He is an angel. Yes, yeah. In real life. So Aziz goes on, takes on Seth Rogen's, his persona, his successfulness, and he doesn't want to leave it. He actually loves being Seth Rogen. He's partying every day, he's having fun, he's drinking, he's rich, successful, he has a Tesla, he's just doing everything. And Seth Rogen's character is now down on his luck, he's struggling and all that.
All right.
And he's like, but no, this is supposed to be a lesson for you, and you're not getting it, and I can't change you back unless you want to change back. He's like, but I don't. So now Keanu Reeves' character, this angel, is kind of stuck in this situation where I don't know what to do. And so he has to figure out how to get these two back into their real world, into their real roles. And you know, it's funny, like three great characters and actors, and Sandra Oh plays like the boss of the angels and takes away Keanu's wings until he figures out how to solve this problem. So it's funny. I think Keanu is going to be a huge standout for this movie.
And that's coming out this year?
And it's coming out, I want to say this year.
I'm gonna confirm. But that looks like, again, I wish we got to be there, Shay, for this, because there's so much of this trailer that I'm like, this seems like it'd be our type of comedy. This is something that we would just love to watch and really be part of. But yeah, Anthony's going to. I'm just going to talk a little bit while Anthony's finding that out. But again,
it says it should be ready this year. It should be, but it looked like the trailer was pretty much done.
Yeah.
You know, like,
just so the rest of the movie to make now, to finish. But we'll see. Last trailer, the big trailer of the day, the one that we kept hearing so much about, Anthony, was the look at the Michael Jackson biopic coming out, starring Michael Jackson's nephew playing him. Give us your thoughts on it.
I skeptic. You know, you hear
skeptic about, going in or
going in, yes. Yeah. I think his name is Jafar Jackson's playing Michael Jackson. Yes. What's the story? Michael Jackson has an interesting career. You know, amazing musician, but his private life has led to a lot of question marks, for sure. And the story that we're going to get, and this is from what I see in the trailer, it's going to be a lot of Michael Jackson making music and being that star that we see on screen. I don't know how much of his personal life is going to dive into it. Jafar Jackson plays a really good Michael Jackson.
That's good.
Like, dancing, music. Antoine Fuqua has done a really good job of capturing this world of Michael Jackson. Joe Jackson's played by, I think, Coleman Domingo.
Mm-hmm.
Nia Long plays the mother.
Yeah, Miles Teller's in it too.
I didn't see him in the trailer, but from what we got, like, there was costume design, everything you, when you think of Michael Jackson, the hair, the look, the, they start from the Jackson 5 to what he sang Thriller, to the 90s Michael Jackson that we saw with the hair and the mask and the glasses. You see all that and it looks real and it looks really well done.
I think that was
my
trailer.
Biggest thing was, wow, this is really well done. You hear the song Man in the Mirror and you're just like blown away, like, oh, I can't wait to see this in theaters. But then there's this feeling of, I want to see it, but also Michael Jackson's personal life interferes with me wanting to see it. It's like,
yeah, and it's also the Jackson family is directly involved with this, like obviously down to the casting of a member of it within it too. So you're also wondering how much is it going to go into it. And you know, from one of the quotes that I saw is that they're aware of a lot of the controversy, and the film is going to go into all of it, from some of the quotes from the interviews that were coming out.
And they but it's all, again, everything is alleged, right?
Of course.
But when you're in bed with children that are not your age, it's suspect, and I can't get that out of my mind.
Yeah.
So there's controversy on all parts of this biopic.
Yeah.
But from what we've seen in this movie and what I've seen in the trailer, it looks really well done. You got the same writer of Argo and The Aviator, so you know the script is going to be great. Director is Antoine Fuqua, fantastic. I just want to know what
this movie is going
to
be, right?
What it kind of tells, how it tells it, and if it's really true to him, or you're trying to like create a softer image or eliminate things that actually happened in this world.
Yeah, and I mean, Michael Jackson is, I think, hands down the most iconic music figure ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everybody in the world knows Michael Jackson, so this has the potential to be like that next Bohemian Rhapsody, maybe even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we'll see what happens with that when it comes out. It's coming out this year, Anthony? Michael Jackson? Is it just called Michael Jackson? 2025.
I think, yeah.
Wow, that's a...
I think it's called Michael.
Is this called Michael, eh?
Mikhail.
Okay, we're gonna get confirmation on that.
We are getting some confirmation.
In the meantime, while Anthony's confirming that, this is just our recaps of Disney. Obviously, we spend a lot of time with Lionsgate. We will be talking about Universal, Warner Brothers, and Paramount.
But you're forgetting a big movie that was announced also at
Lionsgate?
Yeah.
Oh my. I was just doing a little padding.
No.
A little padding for the audience. A
little bang.
But yeah, but what was the big movie? What are we missing?
Mel Gibson directing Mark Wahlberg in Flight Risk.
Flight Risk.
This trailer was so wild.
Tell us what it's about.
Oh man, it's about another trailer also that came out as well. But go on.
April 18th, 2025.
Okay, so a year still.
Sorry, Michael. It's called Michael.
No, Jackson. Sorry. A full year. So we're still a full year
away. One full year away. So this trailer most likely won't come out till towards the end of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Tell us about Flight Risk.
Flight Risk. Oh man, so Mark Wahlberg plays a hitman who is flying a Topher Grace, who is testifying against a mob boss, I guess.
But also, we didn't know he was a hitman yet.
We didn't know he was a hitman. He's just a guy flying a plane, and then you find out that he killed a pilot, and he's balding. He has like not just like a receding hairline.
What a reveal!
He's like just like the middle portion
George
of his
Costanza,
head. George Costanza, exactly. Wild. And Mark Wahlberg introduces the trailer virtually and says like, oh, you know, like you're gonna see a side of me that, you know, I haven't seen in a very long time, blah 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 blah. And this trailer starts and the movie looks kind of janky, it looks very low budget, and then it clearly starts going off the rails, and oh my god, it was not a good trailer for me. Not a good looking movie.
But
as soon as the trailer ended, there was someone in the audience, I was like, oh my god.
But I want to watch it though. I need to see this. I need to see this movie now.
I need to see it because
whether it's for the right reasons or wrong,
it's
wild. And knowing this is directed by Mel Gibson, Mark Wahlberg wanted to star in it and be a villain. And
his dream role, probably.
Wild, just absolutely wild, wild trailer.
Yeah, very, very wild trailer.
Anything else from Lionsgate or Disney that you guys wanted to touch on before we wrap up this episode? I think we're good, right?
Yeah.
Again, make sure you're following us.
Oh, we also had the Dave Bautista film.
Dave Bautista
film. The Killer's Game, right?
The Killer's Game, yeah. So him Palm
Cove. I thought it was a funny premise of he's a hitman who finds out he's dying, so he orders a hit on himself to finally get out of the business and be killed. Finds out that his diagnosis was incorrect, and now he still has to complete the task of fighting off all the assassins that he's called upon himself. So funny plot.
That's a great premise.
There was also Shadow Force trailer. Kerry Washington's in it.
Oh yes,
and Omar Sy. So spies again. I feel like this is the year of spies.
There's spies so many are very spy popular.
Assassin-y type of films. There's also the movie with Halle Berry. Wasn't that Lionsgate?
Oh no, evil no. Never Let Go.
Never Let Go.
Is that?
Yeah.
Lionsgate.
Or was that Universal?
Oh man, I think that might have been
everything's.
We're gonna talk about that.
We're gonna talk about it. We'll confirm.
Universal.
We will talk about it. Whatever studio presentation it landed at. It's been a long week here in Vegas, but we were having much fun. Make sure you're following us on all socials. Make sure you follow all of us because we're all posting and sharing and covering everything that we're seeing while we're here. We're having an absolute blast. We cannot wait for CinemaCon next year because this is like an every year thing. We keep looking at each other. We're like every year.
It's great. Accredited.
As long as we're accredited. But yeah, make sure you're following us on all socials. Again, we have lots of coverage coming your way, lots of more interviews, lots of reviews coming. We're the Movie Podcast. We love what we're doing. We're the best place for entertainment and movies and news and whatever you love, we're doing it here on the show. So make sure you tune in for all that and more. That was this time with the Movie Podcast, and we'll see you next.